This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. It's difficult for many of us to understand why a 15-year-old girl would feel ready to be a mother, especially if that teenager is from a family in which several generations of women became mothers in their teens and suffered great hardships. When my guest Letitia Johnson became a mother at the age of 16, she was continuing a pattern established by her mother, her grandmother, and great-grandmother. These four women are profiled in a new book called Before Their Time, Four Generations of Teenaged Mothers, by Joelle Sander. Letitia's name is a pseudonym she used for the book. Letitia left home at the age of 13 to get away from her stepfather, who sexually and physically abused her. She lived with her grandmother until she was 15 and then moved in with her boyfriend and his family. That's when she decided she wanted to have a baby. Many of us assume most teenage pregnancies are accidents. But Letitia told me she wanted to have a baby because she envied her pregnant girlfriend.
Well, I seen the relationship that she had with her boyfriend, the closeness, and we are both the same age. And when she told me she was pregnant, I kind of was jealous because I was like, hey, you have a boyfriend and you're getting ready to have a baby. And it seemed so beautiful because I'm on the outside looking in. And so I decided, I said, well, this is something that I want too. You know, I want to have a baby. I want the house and the white picket fence too. And it wasn't like that.
Had you been using birth control before you decided you wanted to have a baby?
Well, yeah, I believe so. I was using the pill, and I had stopped using, but I told my boyfriend I was using it.
Why did you not tell him the truth?
Because he didn't want to have a child, and I had to talk him into it, you know, and
Did you think that was fair to him?
No, I don't think it was fair to him because he suffered in the long run, you know, as well as I did, you know. No, I don't think it was fair.
When you did become pregnant, most of the women in your family advised you to have an abortion.
Yeah, they did, but I'm against abortions because I have my own personal views about abortions, and I refuse to give up a life. This is a life that I feel me and the father had created, and I didn't feel that I should destroy this life.
Did your mother and grandmother and great-grandmother, who had each become mothers when they were teenagers, did they tell you stories about the hardships that they had faced as teenage mothers?
No, I never knew their story until I read it in the book Before Their Time.
Really?
Yes.
Why do you think they never told you?
Well, see, I believe it has a lot to do with their ages and the way they were raised. This is something you just don't talk about, you know. All I ever knew about my grandmother was that she had a hard life coming up in a depression. Didn't know where her next meal was coming from. And she used to always preach to me about getting a good education and being somebody in life. And that's basically all she ever told me.
So what was your reaction when you read the book and found out that in some ways their stories were really similar to yours?
I was shocked. I couldn't believe my grandmother went through this and my great-grandmother. I couldn't believe it. They never appeared to be the type of women that would go through something like this. You know, especially my grandmother having to put her first child in a foundling home and then get her out after she got married. I couldn't believe this, you know. These are two strong women who been through so much, and this was the last thing I ever expected to find out. I didn't believe it really until, like, I read it in a book, and then I asked questions.
Did you feel that people looked down on you? Are there friends or teachers or neighbors, you know, and that you were going to become something of an outcast because you became pregnant at the age of 15? Was that looked down on?
No. Mm-mm. You could say about 40% of my school were pregnant mothers. It seemed like it was okay, you know. There was no one who looked down on me or anybody else. All you see was a bunch of pregnant girls walking around high school. And I went to Norman Thomas High School, which is one of the good schools in New York.
Did most of the girls who became teenage mothers leave school?
Well, some completed school. Some went through to 12th grade and graduated pregnant and all. Some had their babies and still completed school. I know for myself, I left.
Letitia, you split up with your boyfriend after your son was born, and you ended up moving into an apartment across the street from your mother's. One of your girlfriends moved in, and her boyfriend was a crack dealer, and he got you hooked. What did you like about crack? That might sound like a foolish and obvious question, but you know, I'd be interested in hearing what you had to say about it.
It's so funny. Well, let me clarify something.
Yeah, please.
I was before she even moved in, and before I even moved into the apartment, I was indulging in cocaine and marijuana before I started smoking crack. So I was already in the drug scene. So like when they first moved in, marijuana was smoked, you know, in the house. So when I first smoked it, it didn't taste right. It didn't seem right. It wasn't the same. Until I found out that he had put some crack in the marijuana, which to me, when I smoked it, I felt like all my problems were gone. I didn't have nothing to think about. It was like I was in heaven, you know. I didn't have to face reality no more. I didn't have to take on any responsibilities. I could just do nothing all day. And everything was fine. Everything was okay as far as I was concerned.
When did the reality of paying for the drug start to get to you?
Wow. That was after the people in my house left. Because what happened was, during the time that they were staying with me, my addiction had progressed to the point where I was stealing cocaine, I was stealing money, I was stealing crack to get high, because that's how much I was addicted to it. And then once they found out, I had both my arms broken and stitches in my head. And I was in so much pain then. When they left, I didn't know whether to continue or to stop. It didn't really teach me a lesson, because I continued to use it. And when I gave up my son, that was the most painful thing that I ever had to face.
You gave custody of your son to your...
to his paternal aunt.
Right. And Letitia, after you became addicted and you needed money really badly, you started prostituting.
Yes.
Did you know how to do it without being part? I mean, you didn't have a pimp. You weren't part of like an organized group or anything. I mean,
No.
I know this might sound ludicrous.
No, it doesn't, because I want to explain this to you, and I want to tell you why and how it brought me to tricking on the streets, but yeah, being a prostitute was because I've always felt when I was being sexually molested that it was okay. And I was getting money for it when I was living at home.
Your father would give you money after
you
molested him?
Yeah, he would give me money. He would buy me clothes, which I thought that was okay. Like I said, it was all right for me to do this. And so I says, well, since he did it to me, what makes it any different is if I go out in the street? So that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. Did you use contraception when you were tricky?
No. No. Mm-mm.
How come? Because you knew about...
Well, sometimes I did. Wait a minute. Sometimes I did. I mean, as far as condoms is concerned, yes. But see, let me explain something. When a woman's on crack, especially crack, I'm going to get into real further detail as far as crack and a woman's body is concerned. Some women's hormones are different, whereas they'll stop having a menstrual, you know, for periods of time. And I went without a menstrual for a long time. So I wasn't able to get pregnant, you know, and that was good for me. That was a plus for me. And as far as the condoms was concerned, I used them just to keep from getting any kind of venereal disease, which on occasions I did contract a venereal disease, you know.
Were you worried about AIDS? And were the men who...
I didn't know anything about no AIDS.
You didn't know about it then? This was like the mid-80s, 85, 86.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about AIDS. Well, now I do. Since I'd say, I'm going to jump forward, since 1988 and 89, I had been tested and I continually get tested. And so far, so good, I'm negative, you know, because that was my biggest worry when I stopped using and I started getting clean, was that would I get the AIDS virus, you know? Mm-hmm. That's been a big issue in my life.
My guest is Letitia Johnson. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Letitia Johnson. Her family is the subject of the new book, Before Their Time, Four Generations of Teenage Mothers. The first time you were on drugs and when you started working as a prostitute, it was 1985 to 86. Mm-hmm. And you had given up custody of your son, but then you decided you wanted to have another child.
Okay, well, at that time, I believe I went into a drug rehab, and I was doing great, you know. But I was messing with the guy that lived across the street, and this was not a planned pregnancy like my first one. This was not a pregnancy that I wanted. I decided that I was gonna do this again. You know, no one was gonna take her from me. I wasn't gonna mess up. I was going to take care of her. And as far as the father was concerned, well, he really didn't want to have anything to do with it. So I said, fine. You know, I'll do what I have to do.
How did you get back on crack?
Well, after she was born, I got custody of my son back, and I was working, I was going to school, and I stopped going to school to work, and it was difficult because I was taking my son downtown to school and picking him up after work, and then I was also seeing a guy that was in prison, and he had me bringing him drugs, you know, marijuana in the prison, and I wasn't getting high at the time. And so one day I just decided, I got fed up with a lot of pressure. It was a lot of pressure, running back and forth, trying to do so many things. Till I just got to the point when I got paid one day, I just went around the corner. And then it just so happens I run into somebody that I know who gets high off a crack and said, come on. And it's just that easy.
During this period when you were addicted to crack, you were homeless, what got you out of that? What turned things around?
Okay. Well, let me just tell you, I did go into a second program, and I went into the rehab at Project Contact Pride Site, and I was doing real good. Of course, again, I got in trouble. I had a jacket for men. Oh, I don't know how this happens to me. But I left again. And then I continued on doing drugs until my brother, who was going, him and his wife were going to North Carolina. I mean, actually Florida, but they stayed in North Carolina. And once, and they asked me, did I want to go with them? So I was like, well, this is something I've dreamed for. I said, if I could get away from New York, period, I'd be fine. And I did. I left with them on my son's birthday, July 27th, 1989. And I went down to Wilson, North Carolina. And when I went down there, I was doing wonderful. Of course, I did indulge in drugs one time while I was down there. But I knew at that time that I was down there for purpose. I had an opportunity here, and I didn't want to mess this up. So I did everything I had to do in order to stay clean and to get things that I needed to get.
Let's talk about what your situation is now.
Mm-hmm.
You've given up crack.
Yes.
You're married now?
Yes.
And you have a third child?
Yes.
Who is how old?
Who's 13 months.
And how are things different for you this time around as a mother?
Well, first of all, as a mother, I really never thought about how different it is now being a mother. I find myself much closer to my children. I think a lot about the consequences of me getting high, the things that happened to me. I'm a part of Narcotics Anonymous, and I have been taught a lot, you know, that I have to keep all of the things that I've gone through up front and keep it green for me so that I can remember where I came from.
Are your other two children living with you now?
Yes.
So you have custody of all of your children?
Well, my son just got killed in a car accident this past summer.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you. So I just have the two girls. And even, let me just say, state this. And even at the time when my son did get killed, his funeral was in an area where, like right down the block, I started getting high for the third time. And for the second and the third time. And it was very hard for me, but when I looked down that block and I looked at his casket, I knew that I was doing the right things. And when he left me knowing that I was clean and sober and I was not where they would have to come look for me and find me to come to his funeral. I felt good about him leaving me the way I was. You know, I would have been very devastated and probably not been sitting here if I had been on drugs, you know. But I feel good knowing that we shared a lot. We got to know each other. The girls loved him, you know, and I miss him a lot, but I have to go on with my life, you know. So I think about that a lot. If I got high, I would just be taking a whole lot of steps backwards, and I'm trying to go forward.
Letitia, what has the experience been like of reading your own story in a book?
Well, it's amazing. What can I say? It's really amazing. I really never thought that it would go this far, you know. When Joelle called me when I got back here to New York, well, actually, I called her when I got back to New York, and I told her I was pregnant and everything, and she was telling me about the book. I was amazed. I was like, it's almost ready. I mean, I don't know. And reading the book, Like I said, there was a lot of things I didn't know my grandmother was going through emotionally and mentally as far as the things I was doing, which made me really cry because it hurt me to know that I put her through a lot of emotional feelings and mental in a mental state that she couldn't even think right, you know.
Letitia, one last question for you. If you knew somebody who was 15, the age you were when you...
You must be on the same wavelength that I'm on. I was just sitting here thinking, I have a total of, plus myself would make seven, six sisters and brothers, three girls and three boys. I have a sister who is 17, and she's read the book, and so far, you know, she uses discretion with her boyfriends. I'm very pleased to see that she wants to get an education, but... if it was a 15-year-old girl who was in a predicament or a situation where she felt she had nobody or she wanted to love somebody, I'd tell her to love herself and try to go on and do the things that you like to do. It's peer pressure. Everybody sees everybody else doing things and everybody wants to follow along behind somebody. And I think sometimes you need to have your own mind and your own decisions and your own way you want to go. I feel that you should love yourself and you should be whatever you can possibly be in life and have goals in mind and try to accomplish those goals. And that's it.
Letitia Johnson. Her family is the subject of the new book Before Their Time, Four Generations of Teenage Mothers, by Joelle Sander. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.